This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
So you remember last year there was some legislation that was on the ballot in Missouri, and one of the issues there was the fact that you required that you had to be a citizen to vote in Missouri elections. And somebody said, well, that's already the law. Why are you adding that to the ballot? They called it ballot candy. And really, I think the impetus for it was that in some states, San Francisco, California, and other states like that, they had passed local ordinances where they would allow non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. And the state of Missouri has now done something to prevent that from happening. The president, of course, signed an executive order this week that was aimed at making you need proof of citizenship. And we've got Tanya J. Powers of Fox News Radio is covering that story this morning. Tanya, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
Great to have you on again. To explain this to me, is this proof of citizenship to vote or proof of citizenship in order to register to vote?
Register.
Okay.
There are a few things in this. Obviously, that one's the big one getting headlines, and we're going to go into that in a second. But there's also a couple of things that are a little further down that are not getting as much attention, and I want to point those out, too. As you mentioned, the order calls for the federal voter registration form to be amended. So prospective voters have to provide documents that prove their citizenship, a U.S. passport, birth certificate, that kind of thing. It also says, this is one of those things that it may get lost in the headlines, that states should turn over their voter lists and their records of voter list maintenance to the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Government Efficiency to be reviewed.
Hmm.
Mail ballots would need to be received by Election Day, not postmarked and then received in a certain period of time after Election Day. That is the case in 18 states and Puerto Rico now. They accept mailed ballots received after Election Day as long as they're postmarked on or before that date. And it's generally, there's a window of time where they can be, you know, gathered and received. That is, like I said, 18 states and Puerto Rico have that. Ballots could not rely on QR codes to be counted. That's another thing in this executive order. The other thing is it cracks down on foreign nationals contributing or donating in U.S. elections. That is something that's also in there that may or may not getting as many headlines. Can he do this through executive order? That's the big question.
Yeah.
There are already legal challenges that are, you know, that was kind of a no-brainer to think that anybody was going to challenge this to the court. Everything gets challenged in court, basically. So this is one of those that will. The federal government actually has a limited role in American elections. The Constitution gives states the authority to determine how their elections are run, time, place, and manner. The ballot counting procedures, you know, specifics on voting, those things are left to the states as well. Congress does have the power to make or alter election regulations, at least for federal offices. But the Constitution does not mention any role for the president or the executive branch in regulating elections. So that's, again, another reason that we're expecting a lot of court challenges with this. The other thing I want to point out that may get lost in the headlines is the order. It instructs a bipartisan independent agency called the Election Assistance Commission to amend its federal voter registration form and its guidelines for voting systems. It says the commission should then rescind certification of voting equipment that does not meet President Trump's chosen standards.
Hmm.
That's another piece, like I said, that may get lost in these headlines because they are pretty sensational headlines. redoing how we do elections. We've never seen like a blanket executive order from a president before that would attempt to do that. But that's one of the two things that I wanted to point out that could get lost.
You mentioned something about a QR code. What were you talking about with that?
Yeah, apparently, and I hadn't even really thought of this, it instructs the Election Assistance Commission I was just talking about it says it would protect election integrity. That would include that voting systems should not rely on ballots that use barcodes or QR codes in the vote counting process.
Hmm.
Apparently, there are some that do use this, but it's not clear exactly how that would be done.
Yeah.
Apparently, in Georgia, apparently all in-person voters use voting machines with a large touchscreen to record their votes. The machines then print a paper ballot with a summary of the voters' selections and a QR code.
Oh.
It's a barcode that would be read by a scanner in order to count the votes. That's in Georgia. I don't know if any other states do that or not, but that's kind of what that's aimed at.
Yeah, Missouri did. When we had the touch screens for a while, it would print out on a piece of paper what your choices were, and then it would assemble one of those codes at the bottom of it. I remember seeing mm-hmm. it. We don't do that anymore, so I'm assuming that wouldn't affect what we're doing here in the state of Missouri. So again, when is this supposed to take effect, Tanya? Is it like immediate?
That's a good question. I'm not sure about when it's supposed to take effect. Like I said, it's kind of a moot point at this
yes.
point, but because you know that it's going to go to court and you know that there's a judge that's going to block this while it's looked at and reviewed and everything like that. Just because it's an executive order it doesn't hold the power of law. So,
right.
And Congress is the ones that's who can fix or change elections. In our country, that is the way that it's set up, by the Constitution. So it should be interesting to see the legal fight on this.
Well,
one.
good to hear more details on it. Tanya J. Powers,
yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm,
yep. Talk to you soon. Yeah, that's some interesting stuff in there. Some of it seems like common sense. But we'll see what the impact of his executive order might be.
Get more at 971talk.com.